You're listening to Jungle Janna Radio with Jungle Janna and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.
Big shout out to Linda Lucas. You can find Linda Lucas music
everybody.
On all the streaming platforms.
I don't
platforms.
Hear you, Janna.
You can't hear me? I have audio. It shows
hey,
I have
everybody.
Audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the weird.
Oh, we are.
Hey, we're famous.
Okay.
Now, hi, Janna.
So we're welcome to LA Talk Radio's Jungle Janna Radio, and now it is whale season on the Gulf of Dulce in Costa Rica. They have the longest migration of any whales. They come from the southern hemisphere, and then they show up in the from the northern hemisphere, and they cohabitate several months a year. I'm sure that is nature's way to keep the gene pool in check. And my favorite guy in the whole wide world that I do, I have been doing whale tours for, you know, Josh is co-hosting this show, and we'll have to get your bio up there. Josh, thank you for coming. And Sam will remember when you called in to LA, you called me, and then I had them call you because there was a whale being born during a live show on LA Talk Radio in front of the Mogos, in most Mogos in the ocean, in the Gulf of
wow,
Dulce.
Jenna. Thanks, Janna. That's
and then there's Chris. Anything you want to do, there's Chris. Hi, Chris. Wave.
Hey, hello. Okay.
So there's Chris. Chris is osatourism.com. Anything that you can, any adventure that you can not even imagine in your mind is available at osatourism.com. By the way,
yeah,
thanks for the people that came yesterday. They had a blast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he also made a documentary about the history of Osa. We'll be talking about that later. So, Josh, tell us about
yes.
what's happening
Hi.
Now with the whales, the whole story.
Wow. I mean, they've come a long way to be here, as we have as well. I think maybe I was like 3,000 miles or something, but these whales are coming 6,500 miles in one journey, all the way from Antarctica, which, you know, they want to have their babies in the warm water here. And over all these years, they've learned, and it's become instinctual, and then the babies come back to have their babies here. And so right now they're arriving from Antarctica, and you have these moms giving birth here in the Gulf. And this Gulf is about 300 square miles of water, very deep. I mean, some parts up to 1,000 feet deep. You know, it's a tropical fjord and all these other stories, right? Really unique spot. Full of plankton, even though they don't need it. I mean, they get full in Antarctica, and they don't need to eat the whole way because they don't really want to stop. It's
so
a
is that what they do? They just get really full
and
make their bodies ready for that long migration.
Yeah, because the orcas and the big sharks are going to be harassing them the whole time. The orcas will try to harass them to the point where they'll have the baby early.
And then they eat it.
Yeah. So they just swim and swim. till they get here. And then kind of like us as well, you get to Costa Rica and you're like, oh yeah, I can relax. But
don't
now.
You think it's amazing that no orcas have ever entered into the Gulf?
Yeah,
like, they'll be kind of at the entrance, but they never just like, I've never seen a full-grown orca inside the Gulf of Dulce.
No, or I mean, we've seen the false orcas inside. Right? They're a lot smaller. That the big daddy orcas, you go out 2 to 5 miles out in the ocean, they're there. But they don't come in. It's just like they have a sense where it's closed. You know, it's a gulf. There's only one way in and out. I don't know if that even makes a difference for them, but
it's just interesting. That's how nature works. They just don't go in there.
Yeah, they just like their deep water. They like thousands of feet deep of water. Plus, they like eating seals and sea lions.
Oh yeah,
and
of course. Yeah, that's just like eating.
And there's 100-pound tunas right out there. Right, you know, right. They don't come into the Gulf either. I wish they would, so I could catch some. But no, we've had a couple babies born this week here in the Gulf that we've got to see. You know, the babies. Newborn baby is still a 2-ton baby, right? These babies weigh about 2 tons. And we're seeing the moms being really, really soft and gentle with the babies, really intimate. We got some really amazing drone footage this week that we'll have on the show next week where you just see them kind of cuddling. I mean, the mom's here, yeah. And the baby's just there, and they're kind of just touching while just floating in the water. They're both just floating and breathing. And then we'll see the mom turn upside down. The baby comes on top, and then she just starts shooting a fire hose of milk.
Yeah, isn't that weird that they don't actually nurse? So this is cool.
Yeah, they don't really attach to each other, but the milk is so fatty, it kind of turns into a solid in the water, and the baby can just kind of lap this up. You know, you thought 2% milk was bad. Try some 60%.
Okay, we're going to switch just a second to Chris. So people get to know him. Chris, tell me your story. I know you were a diver in Australia. Tell me your story and how you got to OSA and what your past experiences are in life with nature, because you got a lot of it.
Well, I'll keep it short, but basically I was in Australia teaching diving, and I had to come back to Canada to see my family, and I came back for about 4 months, but being in Canada during those periods, like October, November, is not that nice, so I decided to try to do some volunteering. And there was a really good turtle project down in the Osa Peninsula in a place called Karate.
Didn't know that.
So, yeah, so I came down for 3 months, really enjoyed it. I love the Osa. I love nature. But I had to get back to Australia and finish off my work there. So I left after 3 months, and I didn't really think about the Osa that much. But when I got back to Canada after finishing my term in Australia, people started to ask me about the Osa, and I thought about bringing groups down here. So I started with my girlfriend at the time in 2006, bringing groups down. And after that, I got into more of a documentary filmmaking and capturing nature, capturing the Turtle Project. And then I got into the history of the Osa, which is super interesting. And I created a 1-hour documentary based on a guy called Patrick. And he was nicknamed the Gold Walker.
Yeah, so, I read the book.
Yeah, and that just led me to...
And you know what's really great about the... When I saw your documentary, I was chill bumps, sniffing, because I knew Patrick, and it brought that book to life where you could actually see it. You did such a wonderful job on that.
Well, yeah, it was a project when I was just starting off filming and making, doing editing, so I'd love to redo it and kind of tighten it up a bit, but there are so many stories here. Unfortunately... Taking photos on the Osa back even 20 years ago was difficult because before the phone, you know, and people take photos and then they would give them to people. But the humidity is so bad here.
Yeah.
That it just destroys stuff. So it's really hard to find content to explain the history of the Osa. So we tried to tell it through the stories of the people.
And it was beautiful.
And, yeah. And two main characters who ended up at the opposite ends of the spectrum and actually came together because they both believed that saving the Osa and creating Corcovado National Park was
Alvaro Ugalde, like one of them. Unbelievable that you got that interview. You know, when I first opened Rainforest Radio in Costa Rica, he lived kind of in the area, and I got this call. The station got a call and he sent a taxi for me. And you know what he told me? He gave me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is freaking me out. So I went to see him, and you know what he told me? He said, when you do your programming, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give programming that every human being in English and Spanish can understand, how that they can be sucked into how precious the OSA is. And that really changed kind of my dynamics. I'm like, it's Alvaro Ugalde. Yeah. Of course I'm going to. And I actually did what he said, and it worked. He was a really sweet man.
Yeah, you'd be surprised by how much they had to fight for Corcovado, and they had to fight for the OSA Peninsula to stay a natural world. It's been under attack by Japanese companies, American companies, Canadian companies, all looking to take their pound of flesh and, leave it in worse conditions. So having someone like Alvaro Ugalde, who stood up for Costa Rica, was incredible. There's just two guys in the national park. It just started in the late 60s, early 70s. Right. There's two of them. So it was just a huge undergoing.
Is it gone up? It's 2.5, or is it more now, they've said? 3.7%?
Yeah, I think it's gone.
I think we rounded up to 3 now.
3% of all the world's biodiversity, plants, animals, insects, birds.
Costa Rica has gone up to 6% now.
Yeah, it's always been here, but they're actually discovering new plants, especially. It's incredible how isolated the OSA was for thousands of years.
I was there in 93. We were kind of freaked out. It was still kind of freaky then, 93. It was a dirt road.
Oh, yeah. I
heard that. For a minute.
Yeah, I flew in 99 with my dad, and it was we'd already traveled Costa Rica for 10 years before, all around the country. But here it was a whole nother world, too. It's just so far away. There's really sketchy bridges coming in,
Yeah, remember those old bridges?
Back then,
there's holes in them, and there's a plank of wood. That,
they're like old U.S. military
bridges. And the wood's moving when you're on it. You're like, okay, this could be it. So every time you came to the OSA, that could be it,
And
so
it made
it more exciting as well. Right?
I'm glad I came when I was young, because I would probably be, if it was like it was in my 30s, I probably wouldn't like it. I probably wouldn't venture there. But now it's beautiful. It's got infrastructure, but in a very conservation way.
Yeah, it's really, the OSA got really lucky to have these kind of people show up at the right time before everything reached a critical mass that could have gone the wrong way. And it could, China really helped build the road down here as well.
Yeah, they
A paved road, and, people don't build roads unless they want something at the end.
I know.
They wanted a lot of the wood, they can't get it.
Who put the first bridges on in the OSA?
U.S. Army. Yeah, sorry.
What did they want?
They want, well, yeah, true. Yeah. It's the Bridges for Peace program. Yeah, right.
I remember that the Taiwanese. Yeah.
So yeah. And during the
that was the late 80s
during the General Noriega era, we were just kind of hiding out here. And I was like, we're building some bridges down there and keeping our eyes on Panama. We had a little special team here ready to go grab him. That's a whole other story.
So we're going to take a quick break here and we're going to run a deal on OSA Tourism about the whales that are coming there.
Fantastic.
One of the magic Moses waterfalls, and then one for Randall LaRouse, which I'm headed to Isla Cocos in October. We'll be right back.
Woo!
Humpback whales visit the OSA every year. Don't miss exploring the Golfo Dulce.
You have no idea how much I miss the howler monkeys howling late in the afternoon and at night, sometime early in the morning. But also, believe it or not, I also miss those loras, those Amazon parrots screeching. They wake me up and they put me to bed.
Jana, do you remember when you first got here? How nature, we didn't really hear it as much. Like, I lived in Karate, I was in 40 minutes, I never heard anything. And now, even in my house in town, I hear the howler monkeys.
It's coming back. You know, there was that project to do tourism locally and the local people jumped on board and I have seen it come back so strongly over the past 15 years. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
it's all education.
There's tapirs walking down the main street near the airport.
Yeah, I saw That's one on crazy. The main road with its baby too.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
And wildcats. Yeah, it's incredible. So it just shows you that it can work. You know, the park is so successful. The Corcovado National Park is successful that the animals are coming out into the corridors and no more hunting. You can't, no more sport hunting here. So it's made a big difference.
Mogos is a very special place because it's the narrowest part of the corridor between Corcovado and Piedras Blancas. And I've seen that happen there too. And that's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
We had a lineated jaguar. You know, sometimes it's just a DNA thing. Walk through the Mirador. They got it on their little camera at night. And then I rolled up and there was some friends. You remember when I brought like five or six people down there and stayed at Maria's? Josh, maybe you were one that with Reed that followed Katie around to make sure she didn't get in any trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at that point, they were freaking out to stay at Mirador. They didn't want to stay at Mirador because they were afraid that jaguar. I was like, no. But I've been lucky enough in the Mogos area to see at least four or five jaguars. And I had a lady whose husband was the head of Texas Parks and Wildlife. She did, there's a place down by, it's the Quebrada that goes into the Golfo Dulce behind the mangroves that comes out in front of the Mogos. We stayed down there and she saw a jaguar at the stream early in the morning. You know, Texas Parks and Wildlife, we did have them in South Texas. She goes and gets a cast. She brought stuff to make a cast. And she sent me a certificate that confirmed by Texas Parks and Wildlife that she had seen a jaguar. That was definitely a jaguar print, which was cool.
That's very nice. Yeah.
I know.
The way that the hunters, the old hunters, have converted into guides was a big shift.
That's an amazing.
And so these guys obviously know how to find the animals. And
yeah.
Now you just shoot them with a camera instead of with a gun.
Right. And
it's still there. So it's amazing.
They really did a great job to teach people that they're worth more alive than dead. But, you know, there was a time before tourism, like you have OSA tourism now, there was a time when people were hungry. You know, I talked to Paul Watson about this. They're hungry. You can't get and you have to create something that gives them an alternative that makes the animal worth something. You know, so there's the tourism. I mean, Chris, how many people do you have in OSA tourism that are local guides and local tour operators?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we support all that. I mean, we're lucky on the OSA that we don't really have, big companies here.
No.
We don't have huge tourism. It's much more of an individual thing. So, right. I mean, there's hardly any. What do we have here? We have one chicken place that is a franchise and one hotel.
Yeah, well, it's a Costa
one
Rican
chicken place.
There's no foreign franchises.
No, no. You know, one.
There's one. Kind of a, it's kind of a
quasi
urban legend zoning law here, you know, where they, it's not really on the books, but no one looks at the books. You know what I mean? So what's, nothing over four stories high and no foreign franchises are allowed to set up.
No. And I really enjoy that there's all these local people. You can stay in their houses or you can, you know, go on tours with them. Or they, you know, and you can get the actual real responsibility. And I guess they're coming back here in a minute. Let's do the ads again and we'll get those boys back.
Humbug whales visit the OSA every year. Don't miss exploring the Golfo Dulce.
You're bringing me back to life. You're bringing me back to life.
Who are we here?
We lost Josh. Josh had to go walk about.
Oh, did he go to the bathroom?
No. It's pouring rain here now. The rain just came in out of nowhere.
Okay, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, so if we lose you, sorry about that. Nature rules here.
Yeah, it is the rainy season. So I'm going to talk about OSA tourism a little bit. Tell us about some of the tours that you have.
Originally, we started off showing everybody's tours, like all the tour companies and everything. But over time, our clients wanted something more individual. So we have anywhere from the Mogos tour, which I can't tell you how many people love that tour. The Mogos waterfalls. They go.
I know. They keep coming back. That's cool.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, some of them like it better than Corcovado because the thing about going to Mogos is it's a private tour most of the time, and it's great for gatherings, and they can have lunch and everything. Whereas you go to Corcovado, the park is so successful now that all the animals are coming out of Corcovado.
Right.
You end up seeing more people than animals. I mean, you do see some of the big animals like tapirs and monkeys and stuff, but I keep telling people you can see those stuff outside the park now, and you can have more of an individual walk around for 4 hours with one guide, and it's much more personal. So going to Mogos is one of the big tours. Hiking other parts of the OSA Peninsula that were never cut down. Like, a lot of people forget that Corcovado National Park was cut down in the late 60s, early 70s.
It was eliminated, basically, in most parts of it.
Yeah, because, the big change came because all of a sudden the chainsaw arrived on the OSA Peninsula.
Right.
And that changed everything. So the tours that people like, the Gulf of Dulce, of course, with Josh at Paradise Rocks is amazing.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And again, when I first came here, there was no one website to show all the tours or to show all the experiences. So you had to go to different lodges or figure it out yourself. So OSA Tourism is trying to give people all the information they need to choose what tours to do that meets their needs. So like a lot of people are doing the Gulf of Dulce now, Mogos Waterfalls, and a couple of the hikes that are outside Corcovado that are in the older rainforest. You know,
I want to know about trees. These golf gardens, because I knew Dennis. He tutored my daughter in math when she was 14. And he's like, he's amazing.
Well, that's the beauty of the tours here. A lot of them are run by local OSA people. And, you know, they're doing it for a business, of course, and their way of life. But it's not about making a lot of money. It's about showing people the OSA. And that's why I think people appreciate these tours with local people, because they feel the love that everybody has for the OSA Peninsula. So that's probably good. I'm trying to think of another tour that, I mean, you can do anything. You can do
anything. Go to
surfing. Some of the best surfing is here.
Yeah.
But people don't like to talk about it because they don't want too many surfers coming.
They don't want anybody to know.
Right. They have waterfall rappelling. We have tree climbing, turtle projects. You can go and during turtle season, you can go
volunteer.
Yeah. Amazing experience. Really amazing. Again, the whales are in season right now. Whale sharks are spotted a couple times in the last 3 weeks.
Here he comes.
And then you got to, you know, get to know all the monkeys here. There's four different species of monkeys, and they all have their own personalities. So we always
joke that monkeys.
Yeah, we joke that the howler monkeys, which is a pretty small monkey, but it looks big, is the old men of the rainforest because they complain all the time.
I should talk about this. I should not talk about this.
Yeah, when it rains, they howl.
About the male monkeys. Oh.
Yeah,
but I never noticed for like 10 years until a man pointed out that their testicles are white like golf balls, but their body is black.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice. I'm like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. I'm like, is that where men look?
I don't even know why would nature do that to the poor guy?
I don't know, poor guy. So the females can see where a man is. I don't know what that
is. No, the story goes as this. It's an old legend where they used to be all white, and so they were just making so much noise that God sent down this lightning bolt, and they all covered up, and they all turned white, and then just that part.
That's an urban legend.
They used to be all white, and then, you know, so, also the small.
Sorry, Sam.
And also the smaller the package, the louder the voice as well. So
really, of course, that would make sense.
Yeah. So
there
you go. Yeah.
And then we have the white face monkeys, which are the Capuchin, and they're smart.
They're mean.
Yeah, they're mean. Well, we call them. They're like the adults in the room. They're smart. They know how to manage.
They can use their hands like tools.
Yeah. Super smart. And then we have the spider monkeys. They're like the teenagers of the rainforest.
I love them.
They like to throw stuff. So never stand below them. They'll break off branches and throw them at you. Don't smile at them because you're showing your teeth.
And then they think you're aggressive and they're going to come attack your ass.
And then the last ones we have on the OSA Peninsula, the squirrel monkeys. They're so cute.
They're like
the kids of the rainforest because they are just all over the place. They're like jumping, running.
What freaked me out about the spider monkeys? We're at the waterfalls one day, right? We have people with us. The spider monkeys had babies. They're jumping, and you know how they teach them to? They would throw the baby off of them just out the tree and let them like try to catch on. I'm freaking out. I'm like Mama Jenna going, oh God, baby's good. And then another one behind would come and catch it. That's horrible. I'm glad I was never a spider monkey.
Have you ever seen a monkey fall out of a tree?
No, but I mean, if you're throwing your kids up in there, it could have happened. I'm sure it might have happened at some point.
Oh, you know, I've seen it in Corcovado.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. The poor guy fell out probably about 30 feet up in the air.
Spider monkey?
I think it was. And it just, it fell into the bush. So we thought, oh my God, it's dead, right? And then about 2 minutes later, we saw it kind of drunken, walking back up the branch. So.
He got hit in the head. Got a little head injury going on there.
Dazed and confused.
Dazed and confused.
Dazed and confused. Oh, yeah.
The squirrel monkeys I love because they have that little widow peak on the front of their head.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay. They totally remind me of Eddie Munster.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The kid from the Munsters. They always have this Eddie Munster haircut. And the spider monkey can actually lock it, wrap its tail around the tree and hang upside down and go to sleep. The tail locks. Right? So they can
actually hang upside down.
They can sleep while hanging, which is really I've never seen them do
they
it.
Would have
but
to
they
just can.
Survive. You know, just in case, you know.
Sleep
they got some
bed.
Bonus features. And the part of the tail is like a palm, right? On the spider monkey. And so that's also a way to identify them too. It's like a fingerprint.
I did not know that.
And it has no hair, so that's right where they grab. And sometimes you see them grab onto a tree branch and they'll sway, and then they put the tail in front of them and they grab again. They don't even use their hands and their feet.
I'm sure they don't.
Only
they're just
their tail.
Running around
just,
there with their tail, throwing
so
babies
acrobatic.
Out there off their back. Like, grab or die. It's freaking us out. Okay, so let's talk about the history of the OSAP of the Gulf of Dulce and the whales and how that gulf was discovered. I know. Because I do it every time. If he forgets to tell it when I'm on a trip with him on the Gulf, I'm like, don't forget to tell him this. You knew, I know that annoying, but you forgot to tell him this.
Well, we used to laugh because we would, when I would describe the tour with Josh, Captain Josh, I would call it the myths of the OSA, or the myths of the Gulf of Dulce.
Yeah, well, we have the myths because, you know, the word myth in Spanish is mito, M-I-T-O. That's myths in the OSA.
Yes.
And again, we're talking times when, you know, no one kept any records back, you know, 1522, let's say, Francisco Davila, you know, and the guys that were portaging, he's dropping guys off on the Caribbean side and he comes back to pick them up and see what they found. And these guys say, the captain's like, hey, what'd you find? They're like, well, we found a whole nother ocean. We walked up on this mountain and there's a whole nother ocean over there. And the captain says, okay, guys, start taking the boat apart. We're going to walk it over there. And the crew's like,
across the country.
Oh, man, why'd we say anything? Now we got to take this boat apart and walk it over these mountains? Like where the Panama Canal is now? This is straight up a mountain. And it's
down the other side.
And marsh and swampy and just totally buggy. And I don't think they could do it in one trip. I think it took a couple trips back and forth. And then you get to the Pacific side and you start putting your boat together. And you're like, you know, there's a couple pieces left, you know, when you're done. You're like, where's that go? And like, oh, shit.
Has Josh ever explained to you how deep the Gulf of Dulce is?
Yeah. 900 feet.
Right, but just in one point, and it's in the way up in the bay, like way up in the Gulf of Dulce. It's
like Mogos. How big? It's Litas in Mogos, where I am. How deep is
right
it?
Over,
deep. Four
right
or five
over by Mogos, Punta Estrella, 900 feet at least.
Yeah,
and that's far in there. It's like a hole. It's just
all the way to the end of it.
Yeah,
I remember. I think Jacques Cousteau started doing
foot.
A. You know, and there's a lot of silt on the bottom, and who knows how long that silt. Who knows? That, you can start digging down into that silt and keep going down.
There's probably a lot of GoPros down there.
and
ladders.
Oh yeah, well, we dropped a ladder out in the middle off the side of my boat.
Oh yeah, so that's that story.
Oh boy, yeah.
It's probably a great little home for little animals that you could go snorkeling and see.
And you know, I guess you guys have already talked about how there's seashells in the mountains of the Osa Peninsula, right?
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. We got them in Mogos.
It's
really?
Crazy.
Wow.
Like,
why?
The first time I saw, well, I don't know. The first time I saw that, I was like, I couldn't figure it out.
Falling.
No,
the mountains went up.
Yeah, the Osa was underwater at one time.
I guess
yes,
we went to this. Yeah. We went to this geology station, and they were so excited. That this is the
where was that? Was that in San Vito up there past San Vito?
It's over by the Gamba and over by
okay,
San Vito. They have these. They're connected to all the mountains here. They have it's a geology, you know, connected web of the scientists, and they have these. They can measure over thousands of years how fast things are rising, and sometimes it goes down and everything's shifting. It's going up and down, but on average, Central America and in the mountain ranges are rising 1 millimeter every 50,000 years.
Oh my God.
And they were so excited. They're like, yeah, it's the fastest rising landmass in the world. And I'm like, okay.
And how many thousand years? 50,000 years?
So what's really amazing is they have equipment that's sensitive that can record stuff like that. So I imagine there's been some big shifts where it's pushed up fast. And big earthquakes where things just, we're on the tectonic plates that are crashing under each other and things are getting going up in the air. Here we go.
I had somebody write me a message yesterday or this morning. No, this morning. That did you hear? Were you affected? Sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry, Leo. Were you affected by the volcano in Guatemala?
Well, hey.
I said, no, we're all fine. We're all good down here.
Things are connected below the ground. I'm sure.
But explain that. Do you know about that?
We're on the ring. The ring of fire is
all connected. Explain that.
What?
The ring of fire. I've had somebody ask me that. I'm like, I'm going to have to ask my friend Josh. He probably knows.
The Pacific Ring of Fire goes all the way over to Japan, all the way around the Pacific. The Pacific Rim.
You know this.
Oh, yeah. We were taught in school.
I grew up in America. We didn't learn anything. So.
I didn't know about the ring of fire. That was a song. It was Johnny Cash.
Yeah,
I'm from Texas. Give me a break.
You know you're from the States if you think it's the ring of fire. It's actually the rim of fire.
Yeah,
right? The rim of fire.
I guess that should be Lord of the Rings movies.
So sorry.
But yeah, we have the Central American land bridge comes up. I mean,
yes.
I don't know how many millions of years it would have been since when North and South America were separate, and it's there below the water, and then here comes a bridge, right? And then everything in South America is like, hey, look, there's a bridge. Let's go that way. And then everything in North America is like, hey, look, there's a bridge. Let's go that way. And all the birds and animals, they're all on the bridge.
Oh, that's the migration.
And here we are in Costa Rica. It's a traffic jam of nature.
And they say we have more in common with the Galapagos Islands when it comes to
And Randall has confirmed this.
Laura.
Yeah.
Randall Arouse, who's been on the show, has confirmed this.
Yeah, how is that possible?
I don't know. I'm going to be on for 13 days. I'm going to be like at my recorder and record everything and get out of Randall's.
We have had, we've had seals on Karate Beach. I've seen them. So it's crazy. Yeah. They got lost. They say they got blown off course and they just end up.
Wait, I'm writing it down. Questions for Randall.
On the other side. They're
and
you know they're there's some
kind of
Antarctic.
Seals were they from like Galapagos?
I don't know. He was there one like I walked
you know
down
they
I
have,
saw I saw
you
him
know
and
what they
he,
have in Galapagos that I really want to do? I want to dive with tropical penguins. They have tropical penguins.
Whoa, I've never heard of that. Doesn't make sense.
Look, I'm going to write that down. Tropical penguins.
Can you bring one back?
My brother's, his dream is always to have a penguin. I said, you can't keep a penguin. That ain't happening. No. He goes, they have tropical penguins. And then I Google it. Yeah, they do. Baby brothers never grow up.
Good for him.
Yeah, me either.
Exactly, right? I think the being around a place like this keeps you young as well because everything's so fresh.
Fresh water, fresh air, fresh food.
Yeah.
You know what's really nice? Everybody's happy. They're not sitting around whining about politics and crap.
I know.
They're just like, hey,
politics? What is
that one group, Chris, and y'all remember that one little group of men that were older? 70s and 80s, they'd meet at the Delfinas and they'd talk politics, socialist, communist, this. And every time they disagree, they'd buy each other a shot. They'd do it every Friday night.
They were hammered because they disagreed a lot.
They just go get drunk, talk about it, and move on, and they're every Friday night.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lack of stress here. You know?
Totally.
So,
let me talk about the stress here.
Yeah, well, that's the big difference we find when people come down here, visitors come down here, we try and get them to slow down. Like a lot
it's
of times
hard,
people will
message sometimes.
Yeah, so people will message me and say, oh, we'd like to do this tour in the morning, this tour in the afternoon. I said, pick one. Just do one a day And they're always very thankful for that because they say, yeah, it takes a lot of energy out of people when the humidity, the heat. But within a couple of days, you get used to it. And it's so good for your skin, your nails, your hair.
You can't believe my skin here. It's horrible.
I don't know how. I can't go home just because of that.
I'm hydrating every day.
I'm afraid to leave here.
I had to put a great filter on this thing so you can't see the creases I got since I came back.
It's like Indiana Jones movie. You start scribbling up like,
yeah.
I haven't had to use chapstick in like 20 years, I
know.
Think, right?
Look, I'm sitting here doing this the whole show. The whole show.
Listex, Carmex, what is that? You know, I don't – have you ever seen any chapstick on the shelves here? Or
never.
In a store? I think maybe once in a while, but
– Osa Natural has one, but
okay. Yeah, but it's probably for sun.
Yeah, it is for sun. It's for sun. Everything's for sun.
It's not. Yeah, it's just to keep the sun off your lips. And everybody's laying in the sun. I'm like, oh, God, I'm never laying in the sun.
No.
I've had friends that have passed for laying in the sun.
We go to waterfalls here. We don't go we don't lie on the beach here. We go swimming in the beach.
Yeah,
but we don't lie.
Okay.
We don't have to go to pay for a spa treatment.
In the beach.
Yeah, we have blue cray. Blue
green clay. We don't have to pay for any spa treatment here because you wake up, you walk outside, you're in the sauna.
Yeah.
Okay, so you already
even Wandy's got a spa treatment thing with clay.
Yeah,
the clay's in the rivers here. I used to have a friend that used to collect the clay. He'd mix some coconut oil in there and then sell it for like $40 a bottle. And he just pulled it out of the side of the river. It's the same stuff.
Yeah,
and then you have the little fish that pick on the dead skin in the river, you know?
Yes, I have that in the bottom part of my waterfall.
Yeah, there's a spa, you know, where you put your foot in this bucket and there's a fish in there that they...
Yeah, we should do that. Like, and
that's $100 there, too.
I haven't thought about that, Chris.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Right? I have them.
Yeah. Let's do a natural spa tour.
And
there's these little crabs that clean your cuticles. They're in the river, too, and they eat your cuticles. They have their little pinchers and they clean your. It tickles so bad. It's so hard to sit there.
It is tickle.
It tickles. Where do you get this?
Oh yeah, because they're clipping your cuticles off your toes.
Yeah,
and of course it tickles. It's really hard to not kick them away.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding!
They're just naturally there. So I mean, we're talking $250-$300 spa day.
Damn, don't you love these guys? Okay, we're gonna run these little things about Osa one more time, and then we're going to come back and close up. But God, this is a great show. You're all coming on every week. You're so
all right,
done.
Fantastic.
Every week.
Hey.
You. Both of you.
Humbug whales visit the Osa every year. Don't miss exploring the Golfo Dulce. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that was fun.
Wasn't that great?
I'm just going to have to tell you two guys, this is how it's going to be. From now on, I need you two guys on my show to co-host.
Uh-oh. Yeah, okay. I've come to the conclusion I really enjoy being with you.
You got Paradise Rocks. I'm sorry. I like all the people who do the tours on the boats, but I've been doing Paradise Rocks since you first started, probably. Yeah.
If you're going to do something...
I love it. So, I'm sorry. It's the most fun. And even the friends that I send with you, you know, they brought their kids back. You got pictures of them on the, you know, it's special. And anything you want to do on OSA, we got to get Dennis on here about those sloths.
Well, yeah, that's a good story because his family grew up in that property and they basically developed it over time. And it gives a lot of people a good understanding of how the sloth.
I mean, he tutored my daughter when she was doing some classes there, but he was just a, you know, high school kid. But this is all those years later. But his grandmother loved the sloths. And so the grandpa, he lived with his grandparents. He planted all the trees that the sloths would come to. And this is how this all happened. It's just beautiful.
And you also know we make chocolate here on the OSA.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And I do like Rancho de Raices.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't eat North American chocolate anymore. All I can taste is like a wax and fat and stuff like
that. No, you can't get that. No, no, no. You know, I told you the story about my girlfriend went to France and brought me chocolates to Costa Rica, and the chocolate, the cacao, came from Costa Rica. Like, seriously, you bought it from there to here, and it's got chocolate. That was pretty cool.
Oh, it's beautiful chocolate here. It's so good for you, too. It makes you happy.
Yeah,
it's also very healthy.
Yeah, just eating the fruit. Just you open them up and
the cacao,
and you're just
as a fruit.
Oh my god! Yeah. I got two different kinds in the yard, just right outside the window here. And one has a yellow fruit, and there's this other one has a kind of a purple, fruit too. So this is a new one to me. I don't know. It's just like a little bit different species or something. Can't wait to try that one. But it's just so fun to crack them open,
and it's just so. And the papayas and the pineapples and the mangoes.
Oh, the bananas. There's like eight or nine different species of bananas here.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Cuadrados.
Yeah.
Plátanos.
That's why.
Little finger bananas.
Like when people go on the tour for the chocolate tour, they get to introduced to all these different fruits they've never heard of. Ever.
That's what's great.
Oh, yeah.
What's the magic?
The miracle fruit.
The miracle fruit.
Yeah, it's like this big, and you peel it, and it makes everything sweet. You put it in your mouth, and then you can just take a lemon and just eat it, and it tastes
like sweet. Lemon. I know who done that. I love that. Yeah, I love that place.
And that's crazy.
I knew the daddy and the husband.
Well, the Herman, the Rancho Raices, the chocolate here. Sick.
Yeah.
Even if you've lived here for many years and you want to fall back in love with Costa Rica again, you go there.
Yeah.
And you see this family and how amazing they are and how much they just light up when they're showing people this stuff.
Herman's passed, but Herman, this is one quick story that I know we got to close up.
Yeah.
I came up there with my friend. She's a psychologist here in Texas. We came up in there to do the tour and he's got my truck. My husband had divorced me and he took my truck and he sold Herman my truck. I'm like, Herman, that's my truck.
Like, hey, that truck goes
off this dude up in Mogos. I'm like, that's my truck. We laughed so hard for years over that. Don't you just love the OSA, how small and fun it is? And
how he cured that big tree on his property.
Oh, yeah.
That tree was how many hundreds of years old?
Yeah. Oh. And it was rotting away and it was going to die.
And he saved it.
He painted lime and calcium on it every day.
Diesel, all kinds of stuff.
And he went through all this process and it healed. He healed this tree.
Can you imagine
being able to heal about 200-foot
tree? Hundreds of that tree is amazing.
Come on now. It's a legend.
That's one of my favorite families on OSA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely one of my favorite families on OSA. So we're going to talk about, looks like it right there, osatourism.com. Go there, or I'm sorry, you won't know where to go that rocks your world to the moon and back. Paradise Rocks.
I'm on there. I'm on those.
I can't wait to get back. I just can't wait. I'm just can't wait. I'm sorry.
Well, we missed you here. We missed you here.
I missed you too. It's been terrible.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Sam, can you give me the heads up? Because it looks like we are.
Hey, Jenna, but
yes, we're done.
Love you.
Oh, it's a turn. It's also fine on your now because
it's really raining in the afternoon.
Next week, you're back.
Okay, everybody. Be safe. Remember, pura vida.
Pura vida. Love y'all. See you soon. Can't wait.
Ciao, everybody.
Ciao.
You're listening to Jungle Janna Radio with Jungle Janna and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.